The Quraysh had always found these attributes of Allah somewhat feeble, so he insisted that Muhammad begin with the more conventional formula, "In thy name, O Allah." To the horror of the Muslims, Muhammad agreed without demur. Worse was to follow. Muhammad continued, "This is the treaty that Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, has agreed with Suhail ibn Amr." Again, Suhail interrupted. If he had believed that Muhammad was God's prophet, he argued reasonably enough, he would not have fought him all these years. He asked Muhammad simply to use his own name and that of his father in the usual way. Ali had already written down the words, "the messenger of God," and told Muhammad that he simply could not bring himself to excise them. So the prophet held out his hand for the pen, asked Ali to point to the words on the parchment, and crossed them out himself. He continued, "This is what Muhammad ibn Abdullah has agreed with Suhail ibn Amr." At this extremely difficult juncture, just as the treaty was being signed, Suhail's son Abu Jandal burst onto the scene. He had converted to Islam, but Suhail had locked him up in the family home in order to prevent him making the Hijra to Medina. Now, however, he had managed to escape and arrived triumphantly to join the Muslims at Hudaybiyah, dragging his fetters behind him. Suhail smashed his fist into his son's face, grabbed his chains, and turned to Muhammad. Would he keep his word and return this renegade to his lawful guardian? Muhammad did not falter, even though Abu Jandal screamed in anguish as Suhail dragged him back to Mecca. "Am I to be returned to the polytheists that they may entice me from my religion, O Muslims?" With classic understatement, Ibn Ishaq remarks, "That increased the people's dejection." This was the last straw for Umar. Yet again, he jumped to his feet and yelled at the man he had followed so loyally for 12 years. Was he not God's messenger? Were not the Muslims right and their enemies wrong? Had not Muhammad assured them that they would pray again at the Kaaba? This was all true, Muhammad replied mildly, but had he promised that they would return to the Haram this year? Umar remained grimly silent, so Muhammad continued firmly, "I am God's messenger. I will not go against his commandments, and he will not make me the loser." Even though he was bitterly perplexed, Umar subsided and reluctantly put his hand to the treaty. But the pilgrims were still furious, and there was a dangerous moment when they seemed about to rebel. Muhammad announced that even though they had not reached the Kaaba, they would complete the pilgrimage right there at Hudaybiyah. The Muslims must shave their heads and sacrifice their camels, just as they would if they were in the heart of Mecca. There was absolute silence, and the pilgrims stared grimly back at Muhammad, tacitly refusing to obey. In despair, the prophet retreated to his tent. What on earth could he do? He asked Salama. She judged the situation perfectly. Muhammad should go out and, without uttering another word, sacrifice the camel that he had consecrated to Allah. It was exactly the right decision. The spectacular bloodletting broke through the torpor of depression, and immediately the men fell over themselves to sacrifice their own camels and shaved each other's heads with such zeal that Salama said later that she thought they would inflict mortal wounds in their pious frenzy.